We are looking through the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6, the model prayer. And what we're doing is we're learning about Jesus' words on that prayer. We're taking it phrase by phrase because we believe that there's two keys to revival. And we're praying for revival right now. And the two keys are, number one is prayer. And that's why we have the awakening, this prayer movement that we're doing right now. We believe that God's people have to get serious about prayer. And what better place to look in God's Word but to look actually at the model prayer, which that's, I call it that intentionally. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus actually prayed, is in John 17, that when he prayed on our behalf. But the model prayer is a prayer he gave us in answer to the disciples' question, teach us how to pray. So hence the name of this series, Teach Us to Pray. So we need to learn to pray stronger and better prayers. And we also need to have our hearts right. And if you want to see a prayer that was uttered with the right heart and right intent, it's the model prayer. And so these are the attitudes and the heart that we need to really see revival in our land and in our lives individually. And so I saw a story I just had to share. I hadn't seen this in a while, but Ray Steadman was a pastor out in Northern California for a number of years. I really appreciate him. And he was telling a story about a revival one time. Now, this is half-hearted, okay? So you can smile about this, but he was talking about it was a small town, and they really were starting to see revival. And so there was revival, and there were two churches in that town, a Methodist church and a Baptist church. And they decided revival is so strong among the people there that they would just come together and form one church. And so they did that. They went together, and amazingly, when they had their negotiations, their first meeting, they didn't worry at all about ecclesiology, which is what they believe about doctrine, polity, or how they're going to govern the church. Wasn't a problem at all. But they had a little struggle when it came to this part of the Lord's Prayer about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One group said that we were intent on saying debtors. Now, this is a story Steadman told several years ago. The other said, no, we're going to say trespasses. And it got to be so bad that they decided they'd go back and have their own separate churches. And this is how the newspapers reported the whole story in the small town. It said the Methodists went back to their debts and the Baptists went back to their trespasses. Well, guys, we don't want that to happen. If we do have revival, we don't want to go back to our debts or our trespasses. So we're going to talk about what this means. Let me just again review before we get into the lesson tonight. Look at it in your Bibles if you're there now. Look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. And so we learned that the model prayer starts with intimacy. We are intimately related to God as our Heavenly Father. And because He's our Heavenly Father, we have an intimacy with Him. We can come to Him with anything, any need that we have. But look at this. We also recognize His majesty. Your name be honored as holy. And so we want to honor Him, tell Him how special He is. And then we want to tell others how special He is. And so we definitely pray for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And we make His priority our priority. What's His priority? That His kingdom would come on this earth. And then we looked at supplication. As we look on past your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. And we just are reminded of the fact that what matters to us matters to God. If there's something on your heart, a need you have or a concern you have, it's not too little for God. God wants to hear from you and from me daily. And so that's something else to think about in that part of the prayer. We live in daily dependence on God. We may not think we do. We may think we're very self-sufficient. But you and I really do live in daily dependence to God. So we're always going to have needs that we have to present to Him. But look at how that's worded. Again, look very closely. Give us this day our daily bread, which means that we also need to be considering the needs of others. And so we need to be in our prayer lives interceding for other brothers and sisters who have needs. We're not the only ones who need daily bread. Others do as well. And now we come again to this next part of the model prayer, verse 12. That's what I'm going to focus on in my sermon tonight. And everyone agrees this is a beautiful and powerful thing. Forgiveness is so powerful until they have to do it, right? Until you have to forgive somebody. But this is really the essence of the Christian faith. And so we're going to talk about forgiveness tonight. And so look with me again at verse 12. This is the next phrase in the model prayer. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we try to think about and understand, and the Holy Spirit guide us with this phrase that's so important. Father, we thank you for this time we have together tonight. And Lord, just for the study that we're doing right now, looking at the model prayer, phrase by phrase, and then allowing your Spirit to speak to our hearts and to guide us and to guard us. And Lord, we pray that we would just be growing in our personal prayer lives. And Lord, we pray that as we come together as a church and pray, when we have the awakening and other prayer times in our life groups and other settings, Lord, that we just be growing and praying like you pray, according to the model prayer that you've laid out for us. And that means for that to happen, our hearts have to be right. And so, Lord, I thank you for this part that you included tonight that talks about forgiveness. What a powerful thing. Lord, and I just pray that you would help us tonight to think about that, to think about forgiveness personally and how we need to extend forgiveness and how we need to just share and preach forgiveness. Lord, that's the essence of the Christian faith. And so help us tonight, Lord. Help me to preach this message and help us to hear it, Lord, with spiritual ears and receive it and apply it to our lives. And I pray that this would happen for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I may not know a lot about every one of you personally, especially those that are online tonight, but there's something I know about every person in this room. Something that all of us need, and something that all of us need to do. And that's this word, forgiveness. Every one of us needs forgiveness. And we all need to extend forgiveness. There's somebody you need to forgive in your life, because somebody has hurt you. Somebody has maybe hurt you years ago, or maybe they hurt you yesterday. But you need to extend forgiveness, but never forget or never lose sight. You need forgiveness. There's someone that you've hurt. And ultimately, we need forgiveness from our God. You know, we live in a society today where a lot of people downplay that. They're like, you know, I don't have sins that I need. And I know that's crazy to think about, but people think that way. I don't have sins that I need forgiveness for. Or really what that boils down to is they don't feel like they need to be accountable to a God or a creator. Or to a sovereign. But we need forgiveness. Now, here's the thing. Forgiveness is hard. If you're going to be a forgiving person, then that takes work. That takes effort. It's not easy to forgive other people. C.S. Lewis said this. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive or to be forgiven of. And so, but listen, just like daily bread is essential to your daily life, forgiveness ought to be in the ebb and flow of the Christian life. It truly is the essence. So tonight there's three things I want to share about forgiveness. Three things that I want to talk to you about. Three applications to this little phrase that Jesus mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing is that as Christians, we are people who pray for forgiveness. We pray for forgiveness. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about that, and they'll talk about the prayer of forgiveness, as if we just need to pray one prayer of forgiveness. And truly, I do believe that it's important to express our desire to want to come into a right relationship with God. And part of that prayer is a prayer of forgiveness. When you come to God in saving faith, certainly you're coming saying, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. But you know, I have talked to some people, and it wasn't that long ago. I had a conversation with somebody who's been saved for a long time, and they really don't see the need for that. And I can't believe that. I think this passage tells me I need to be praying to the Lord and asking for forgiveness on a regular basis. So what is forgiveness? Let's talk about that for a minute. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold someone's sin against them. I didn't put that in your sermon notes tonight, but that's a good little definition. It's choosing not to hold someone's sin against them. Here's another one that I like. This was one I got from Chuck Swindoll. I heard him say it years ago. But forgiveness, from my standpoint, is when I give up my right to hurt someone back. My right to get someone back. And that's what forgiveness really is. And it means to cancel a debt that's owed. you can think about that in terms of finances or money. When I cancel someone's debt, I say, you're forgiven. You don't owe that anymore. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the essence of the Christian faith. And so when I say, Father, forgive me, I'm asking God to cancel my debt. Now think about that. I mean, I've been saved since I was 8 years old. I've sinned quite a bit since I was 8. Matter of fact, I'm a daily sinner because I'm a human being who has a sinful nature and a sinful flesh. And so I need to just admit to God regularly that I mess up in my regular conversation with God. And if I'm not conversing regularly with God, then that's another problem that we've talked about before. But prayerlessness, I need to take care of that. But you ought to just regularly talk to the Lord about your sin. Sins that I did by omission, meaning that I should have done them and I didn't do them. And sins of commission, those sins that I commit. And maybe there's a besetting sin that I do again and again and again, I fall into. And that's probably not even a good phrase either, that I do. Because I've not surrendered more of my flesh to the Lord. But also things that take me by surprise. You know, as you pray to the Lord like that and really confess regularly, sometimes God will reveal things. Have you ever been told by somebody or ever discovered that you've been blind to the sin in your life? I have, and I didn't even realize it. I could tell you many stories. I don't want to tonight. I just don't want to confess to you guys about that tonight. But sometimes we have blind areas in our lives, right? Talk to the Lord about that. Ask Him to reveal things in your life that maybe you don't even realize. But forgiveness is very important. And here's why. Here's why we pray for forgiveness. Let me give you your bullet points. We pray for forgiveness recognizing the seriousness of our sinfulness. The seriousness of it. Again, that's part of why we're Christians to begin with, because at some point the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. It's one of the problems we have today. There's a lot of people that have hard hearts and they're not convicted of their sins. They're like, you know, I'll just go on living my life as I please. I'm having fun. I'm not too bad of a guy or too bad of a gal. By the way, that person deserved what was coming to them, or I deserve what I'm getting right now. I deserve to have what I want. And they don't come under the authority of the Lord. But what we're not factoring in is the seriousness of our sins, because sins deserve punishment. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't believe in law enforcement. You wouldn't believe that there would be any reason for capital punishment or for somebody to be locked up in jail. We believe, just as human beings, we have this innate ability to see that sin needs to be punished. And so ultimately, our sins have to be punished. And so, again, we don't need to rationalize or cover over or say we don't need to. We just need to talk to God about my and your sinful nature. But then we also pray for forgiveness because we're not cynics. Some people know that they're sinners. I've talked to people and they know they're sinners and they're really depressed about it. But they don't really think there's an answer. Do you know, I don't know who said this. I can't remember who this is original with is what I'm saying. But someone said one time that if you could really convince people that forgiveness was a real deal, you could clear out most of the mental institutions in this country or in the world for that matter. A lot of people are bound up in sin and they really don't think that they're worthy of forgiveness or they can receive forgiveness. And so, second, we pray for forgiveness, recognizing the forgiving nature of our God. And that's a hallelujah. Jesus is a forgiving God. He said, Father, forgive them, when he was about ready to die on the cross. Why? For they know not what they do. Well, sometimes I know what I do, don't you? And a lot of people, again, have this image of God, particularly people who are outside the Bible, the buckle of the Bible Belt in America. I found this out when I've been in some Muslim countries on mission trips before. Some people don't have that foundation that God is a forgiving God. Some of our Muslim friends who live in this country or live in other countries, they think that God is arbitrary. They don't think you can know if you can be forgiven. I'll never forget sharing with a group of Muslim students one time, and we tell stories where we go and we share about our faith. And I told the story about the woman caught in adultery. And this young man asked me a question that took me aback. I couldn't believe it. Because again, I come up from a Christian foundation. I've been raised up in a Christian environment. And this young man asked me, well, isn't Jesus being hypocritical? Isn't he being unfaithful to himself in forgiving this lady? And I never had a thought about that. That had never dawned on me. But some people really have trouble understanding that God is a forgiving God. He has a forgiving nature. He wants to forgive you. Don't take advantage of that, and don't take that for granted. Receive that. But you got to talk to him about your sin. I love Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. It says, "If you considered sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered." Don't miss that last part. With you there is forgiveness, not so I can just have this washed in my hands and I go off and live however I please, so that you can be revered, so that we can worship and honor and obey our loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. And then the last part is really, it's obvious. The reason we need to pray this prayer often is we pray for forgiveness, recognizing our ongoing need for forgiveness. We need to pray for forgiveness on a regular basis because we still sin. And yes, I believe that when you came to faith in Christ and you were saved initially, that God forgave you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. But you still need to go to the Lord to be in a close fellowship with Him. He saved you relationally and forgave you initially when you came to Him, but you need to stay close to Him. You need to stay close in your fellowship with Him. And so our relationship is not broken when we sin as a Christian, but our fellowship is broken with the Lord. And so I like what it says in 1 John chapter 1. That's a great passage. I've preached on that not too long ago, but I'll give it to you again. It says, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So what do? John says we confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus teaches us in this model prayer that you can come to God and ask for forgiveness, and God won't withhold it. God will grant it to you. God is faithful. I just love the old saying. I'm not sure which old pastor said this, but in the world, when you sin and when you mess up or when you hurt somebody or when you do something, the world says, "You owe, you pay." Christianity is God saying, "You owe, I'll pay." That's good news. That's great news. And that's the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And so I love how when we are dead, as it says in Colossians chapter 2, in our trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, He made us alive. He forgave all your trespasses. And so we are to pray for forgiveness. But second, this is where it gets a little stickier. As Christians, we are a people who practice forgiveness. We pray regularly for forgiveness, but we also, second, practice forgiveness. Jesus says it right there. Look in the text. "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is the frustrating part for us, isn't it? You mean I have to show the same kind of mercy as Jesus? Yes. I mean, surely after 7 times, that's enough. Isn't that what Peter said? No. Jesus said 70 times 7. That means limitless. That means we're to be forgivers just like our Father in heaven forgives us. You mean I've got to forgive somebody who hurt me? They hurt me. Jesus? Yes. How can I ever get past the hurt? I'll help you. Trust me. Walk with me. Learn from me. Because Jesus clearly says here, you're going to have to come to the point where you're able to forgive people who have hurt you. And so, first of all, let's talk about failure to forgive, all right? If you fail to do that, first of all, you're disobeying the will of God. But I think that you're also ignoring or minimizing, you're failing to live, you're living with a lack of gratitude. We're getting into the Thanksgiving season soon, and we're going to talk about gratitude. And by the way, that's when we're going to take communion. I mentioned that this morning, but some of you may not have been here this morning. But we were going to do that last Sunday night, and the weather was not conducive for it. And tonight's Halloween, and I want to have a really good gathering for our next communion. So on the Sunday night before Thanksgiving, please come, and we're going to give thanks to God, and we're going to take communion on that Sunday night. But nevertheless, we have to come to a point where we show gratitude to God, and forgiving is a way that we show gratitude. When you forgive somebody else who's hurt you, you're ultimately showing God that you're grateful for the forgiveness that he has extended to you. It reminds me of the story in Matthew 18, and I don't have time to really share that totally tonight. But if you read that story, you'll see a story where Jesus told of a man who had been, basically he had a huge debt. He'd amassed a huge sum of money he could never repay back. And so he went and begged for mercy from the owner, or basically the person who he was enslaved to. And that person forgave him of a massive amount of money. And then he goes and turns around and he shakes somebody down who owes him like $5, is basically the point of the story. And later on, when that owner found out about that, he imprisoned him. But what he is saying in that story is that he's imprisoned not only by his lack of gratitude, but he's enslaved by his own unwillingness to forgive. And so when you fail to forgive somebody, really you enslave yourself. You're only hurting yourself in the long run. And so let me just say a couple bullet points about forgiving, why we practice forgiveness. We forgive others, first of all, because God's word commands it. God's word commands it. God just simply says that we're to be people who are forgiving. We are to model our master. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you in Christ." By the way, don't look for loopholes. Don't say, "Well, but you don't understand. Christ really isn't thinking about it. You don't know what happened to me." No, we don't look for loopholes. We forgive others because, and second, we forgive others because we are a people of faith. We're a people of faith. That's what God is really asking us to do. There are several places in Scripture where God says, "Vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay." And so when I choose to forgive someone, you know what I'm really doing? I'm leaving it in God's hands. I'm leaving this situation with God, telling God that I trust you by faith. Vengeance is yours. And today we talked about, somebody told me, I've really been in a lot of fire and brimstone lately, and I have been on Sunday morning. But we're leaving the judgment up to God. God is going to judge people one day. And yes, he will judge Christians too. We're going to talk about that. That's in a future message when we get a little closer, a little farther down along in Revelation. But we are choosing to leave that situation in God's hands. That's really what we do when we forgive. And so it's an act of faith. I trust God that he is a righteous and holy God and he's going to make things right. And really, if I try to make it right, I'm just going to mess it up worse. And so I'm trusting him with this. And so let me just lapse into something else I want to share with you tonight. I felt that this was important. This would help the message. I hadn't originally included this, but I want to include this tonight. There's some reasons why we fold our arms and we refuse to forgive. And it comes down to a matter of faith. But sometimes it's also we don't really understand forgiveness. And so let me share some things that forgiveness is not. And I hope this will help you to really, truly trust and forgive like you should. Sometimes we don't practice forgiveness because we think forgiveness is forgetting. You've heard that phrase before, to forgive and forget. Did you know that phrase is not in the Bible? Do you know there is one person who can forgive and forget? It's God. But you can't do that. I can't do that. There are some things that have happened in our lives that are so horrible that you may never be able to forget that sin that was committed against you. And it may be impossible for you to erase that memory from your mind. So he's not asking you to forget. He's not asking you to go back into that situation again. If you've been under some horrible abuse, you're not to go back to that again. In fact, sometimes we think that forgiveness is reconciliation. That's not true. It says, as far as it's possible with me, I'm to be at peace with all people. There's sometimes where the best thing you can do is to stay away from a situation that's ugly. Or unjust or unfair. You're not to put yourself into and be a doormat and endure ongoing abuse. That's the third point. We think that we've got to endure ongoing abuse. It doesn't mean I become a perpetual doormat. It does mean that I protect myself, but I, again, release that person from me paying them back or me hurting them in some way. Here's another thing. We think that forgiveness means I've got to excuse bad behavior. I've just got to let that person, broke into my house. That person stole my car. And I'm just using those as examples, all right? I can forgive that person and still prosecute them. They still need to, justice may need to be served in that situation. You can forgive someone and justice still be served. Fifthly, we think that we've got to feel good about it. I think this is one of the worst problems for a lot of us as Christians, is we base a lot of our Christianity on feelings. And if I can tell you anything tonight, I would say to you that we base our Christianity, our Christian principles, on facts, the facts of God's Word, and not how we feel. Man, my feelings are all over the place. And so if I felt like forgiving someone, I wouldn't do much forgiving, especially right after it happened, right? Maybe later on I might have enough clarity and clear-mindedness to do that. But listen, we don't wait until we feel good about it. And I'm going to tell you a story about that here in a little bit that really is powerful. But forgiveness is not emotional. It's something that we do, it's volitional, of the will. We willingly do it as an act of surrender and love and obedience to our forgiving Lord and Savior. So forgiveness, again, involves canceling a debt. And you can do it because of your faith in God. You can trust God. If you can trust God with your salvation, you can trust Him with this matter where someone has done you wrong. Third bullet point. We forgive others because Jesus sets the example. Jesus is the example. He is the shining example. Because God forgave us, we should forgive others. How can you ask God to do something for you that you're unwilling to extend to someone else? And I know we're growing in that, okay? I know that some of us, when we're baby Christians, we may not do that. But as we grow and become more mature, we ought to be willing to do that. And so that extends to family members. It extends to others who have done us wrong. So now we see how gritty and how tough this is. Forgiveness is hard work. But when we surrender our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit will do His work in our lives and change our hearts and change our attitudes and our desires. And we can do things that we never thought were possible in our own strength. Let me tell you a story about Jerry Levine. You may not remember that name, but Jerry Levine was a top reporter for CNN back in the Middle East in the 1980s. And if the name sounds more familiar now, there's a story where some Muslims who were radical in that part of the world took him hostage by gunpoint. And they literally tried to humiliate him. They stripped him to his underwear, chained him to a radiator, and for more than 11 months they held this CNN reporter hostage. Well, by his own admission, as the days went by, he began to think a lot, as you would do in that situation. He didn't know if he was going to live or die. And he thought a lot about what he'd heard about God and what he'd heard about Jesus. And this is what he says by his own admission. He said that he always thought that Jesus' teaching about forgiveness was for wimps. He thought, if you're someone who forgives other people, you're a wimp. But he came to understand that actually the person who's the wimp is the guy who's got the gun to your head, not the one who forgives. The one who forgives is actually the stronger of the two. And so he said, over time, an amazing thing happened. He said, I gave my life to be a follower of Jesus. Now, he was raised in the Jewish faith, Levine was, but he gave his heart to Jesus. And I want you to hear what he says. This was his own testimony. He said, for the first time in years, I prayed. And this is what I said. God, please forgive these men. Forgive them because they are in part responsible for bringing me to you and to your son. That's a powerful testimony, but that's what God did through Jerry Levine's hostage crisis situation for 11 months in the 1980s. And so Jerry has a story of the kind of faith we're seeing here in this model prayer. So that brings me to my third point tonight I want to share about this phrase. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. As Christians, we are people who proclaim forgiveness. Proclaim forgiveness. We teach and tell people that you can be forgiven. And so the only hope for fallen mankind is a forgiving God. And we need to proclaim that. And you know, it's tough to be a Christian these days. It's tough to be a Christian because a lot of people think you're just foolish. Think I'm foolish. They think we're narrow-minded. Most people know us for what we're against. And they want to live any way they choose. A lot of people say there's a lot of ways to get to God. A lot of people think, man, I'm entitled to live the way that I want, to identify with who I want and what I want to do and be. Here's what you do. Here's how you navigate all that, okay? People say, I don't know how to really talk to my neighbor or my friend who's in this alternative lifestyle. Just proclaim to them there's a God who loves them and there's a God who will forgive them. Let's take it back to the crux. We got to get back to the main point. The main point is there's a God who forgives. And so we've got to proclaim forgiveness. Listen, that's what's different than any other world religion. That's what's different. Christ offers forgiveness. Christ said, it is finished. All these other religions are works-based. You're doing something to earn the favor. And listen, even people who are in alternative lifestyles and living in lives that are far from God are still in their own way trying to please God. Lots of people I talk to, they'll say, well, I'm doing a lot of good things. I've done this or that or the other. They have a works-based theology. Christ says it is done. It is finished. And so God loves and God forgives. And so here's the deal. It is at the cross where we find the power to receive this forgiveness. Doesn't make any sense if there's not a cross, a bloody cross and a powerful resurrection. How can we know? We're just like the Muslims. How can we know if God really forgives us? Well, I guess if we look at them at those scales and we've done more good things than bad things, that's so arbitrary. Bible teaches me I can know that Christ offers forgiveness. He paid for it. He proved it by that blood he shed on the cross, by those nails. Again, Jesus went to the cross saying, you owe, I'll pay. And you can't truly forgive others until you've known the forgiveness of Christ. But it's also at the cross where we find the power to extend this forgiveness. So not only can you receive forgiveness, but you can learn to extend forgiveness beyond your wildest imagination through the power of the cross. Jesus, again, modeled this during the darkest days of his life. And Jesus asks us to model this in our lives. And so I want you to think about Jesus when he was getting ready to be crucified. He was mocked cruelly. He was derided, laughed at, sneered at, and yet he still had the power and the presence of mind to say, Father, forgive them. And that reminds me of a story, and many of you have probably heard this story before, or maybe read this story. Corrie ten Boom is a wonderful Christian example. She's in heaven now, but she has a great story. And some of you may have heard this story before. She was a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, hid Jewish people who were European Jews who were being sent to the gas chamber. And other people as well. But her family did that for a long time until they were discovered by the Nazis and they were imprisoned themselves. And Corrie ten Boom wrote a book about that called The Hiding Place. Later on, she came to the United States and lived the last years of her life speaking in many churches throughout the United States and sharing her story of how God forgives and we can be forgiving. And so she was talking one time in this book called The Hiding Place. And this is where I read this story. And I want to share it with you tonight about speaking in a church. This actually wasn't even in America. This was in Germany, in Munich. And she saw someone who looked familiar that night. He was at her service. And before long, some scenes came back into her mind. Some ugly scenes that I won't share with you. Things that she experienced in Ravensbrück, the camp, the concentration camp where she had spent several years of her life. And she had literally seen her sister abused and her mother and father killed and her sister later killed. And then it all came back. The mocking, the pain, the suffering, the loss that she experienced. Well, the man came up to her and he had this deep German accent. And this is what he said. I'm going to read it to you because I love how she puts it. He says, how grateful I am for your message, Fraulein, to think that as you say, he has washed my sins away. And he reached his hand out to shake her hand. What do you suppose went through her at that point emotionally? You know what went through her emotionally. She says, I froze. I didn't want to extend my hand. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to get out of there as soon as I could. She said, all this forgiveness that I had preached, the need to forgive, and all I had at that moment were angry, vengeful thoughts. But immediately, now listen to this, she says, I saw the sin of them. I saw that my own vengeful thoughts were sinful. If ever there was righteous anger or vindictiveness, you'd think that would be it, right? After what she experienced. But by her own admission, she says in this story, I saw them as sinful. She said, Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for any more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. So she said, I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, to shake his hand. And I felt nothing. There's the emotional end of it. I felt nothing. not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. So again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I can't forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And I want you to hear this. This is her exact words. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. And that's what we're talking about tonight. When Jesus says, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors, he gives us the power to do just that. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of salvation. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord, we are in a season right now where our hearts long for revival. We're longing for revival personally and here in our church, but certainly in our nation, in our broken land. And we know that forgiveness is part of that equation. Lord, we know that because we read your words like we've read tonight. And we understand that that's what you've ultimately done for us. We are different because we've been forgiven. You have paid our debt. And now your Spirit dwells inside of us. And your Spirit gives us the power to live in ways that are pleasing to you. Ways that are beyond us in our human fleshly nature. And so I thank you for this part of the model prayer. It's not the easiest part of it, frankly. It may be the most challenging part. Sometimes we're proud and we're not convicted. Forgive us for our hard hearts. Forgive us for not coming to you broken over our sins. Lord, if I don't hate my sin, there's something wrong with me. I'm not saying that I'm perfect and I'm not saying that I don't sin. But oh, how I'd hate that sin, because I want to be clean and close to you. And I want to be a good ambassador for you. And so, Lord, thank you for forgiveness. Help us, help me to see my ongoing need to come to you, asking for forgiveness each day. But Lord, help me also to see my need, not just to pray for forgiveness, but to practice and proclaim forgiveness. Lord, we're to practice forgiveness because we are your ambassadors. And you have given us a mission field. And what a powerful testimony it is. And Lord, also on the other hand, what a great tool for Satan to use as we're trying to be witnesses if we won't forgive. And we see, well, there's a guy that won't forgive a family member or a coworker or someone who hurt him. Lord, if we would just extend forgiveness, how powerfully that would line up with our testimony and with our evangelism. Lord, how it would also free us up. I'm just confident that people who are hearing this message tonight, there's some of us that are bound up with bitterness and anger and even hatred that's really hurting us. It's toxic inside of us. And our emotions may really be hurting tonight because we've chosen to just imprison someone who's hurt us. And maybe that person isn't even around anymore. But they hurt us, and it was legitimate and real. And all we've done is imprison ourselves because we're choosing not to forgive. Oh, Lord, thank you for showing us what it means to be forgivers and the power of forgiveness. You showed us that at the cross. And so, Lord, I don't know what people need tonight in this place, whether it's someone watching online. But if there's someone here tonight that needs to be forgiven by you, thank you for the clearness and clarity of the gospel, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You can be cleansed and forgiven. But others of us here tonight, maybe we just need to release someone. Maybe there's someone that we need to remove or forgive the debt that they owe us. And I don't know what needs to happen, but you do, Lord. So may your will be done in this place. Lord, if we need to come and use this altar to pray, Lord, I pray that you would just make our hearts sensitive to that and open to how you want to move tonight. But again, we thank you for how your word helps us to think properly. and to live properly. And we thank you so much that you have freely cleansed us by your blood and by your suffering on the cross. God, thank you so much for forgiving me, a sinner who is saved by grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.